You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Thank you. Good afternoon. The John C. Scott Political Forum, now in its 31st year of continuous political talk. A great lineup of guests today. You're going to learn a lot in the next couple of hours. We're going to talk with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party. Then we'll talk with Dustin Williams, school superintendent of Pima County. Dustin's going to appoint the District 1, TUSC, the Tucson Unified School District 1, new member because Mark Stegeman has resigned. And it is up to the superintendent of schools for Pima County, Dustin Williams, to appoint a replacement. Who will it be? And what will criteria be to choose this new member of this important TUSD board? Matt Klink will be with us. He's a GOP consultant, GOP strategist in Los Angeles, one of the most respected across the country. What now for Donald Trump? Is this the beginning of the end for the president? Then we'll talk with Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, and then Joe Morgan, who is a GOP candidate for Congress in Congressional District 2 in 2020. He is part of a campaign to ask you to vote no on Proposition 205. We'll ask him to explain why 205 is a danger for the future of Tucson. Then Ann Ackerley, who you just heard on the Bruce Ash Show, will be my guest talking about his independent campaign for mayor of Tucson. A very busy afternoon and a lot of information. Glad you decided to join us. Here's Don Jorgensen. Hi, Don.
Hey, John. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. For the first time, the impeachment inquiry reached directly into the White House just a couple of days ago. In fact, it was Friday just yesterday as Democrats subpoenaed officials with contacts with the Ukraine and President Trump signaling his administration will not cooperate. This is an impasse between the White House and the House of Representatives. Where is that going to end?
Well, it's going to end in the House in impeachment. We can see that. And that's really one of the challenges that the Democrats face is it, in one sense, doesn't matter how much more material they receive from the White House because the White House and Donald Trump specifically has already provided all the evidence they need that he should be impeached. You know, when the president uses power for his own political gain, that's the very definition of an impeachable offense. In fact, it's one of the examples the founding fathers used. James Madison, in fact, said that we need impeachment because a president might betray his trust to foreign powers. And Alexander Hamilton also said impeachment was provided as a response not just to crimes, but to acts that were an abuse or violation of some public trust. He has admitted it. They provided the memo from the phone calls that indicate exactly that. And, of course, as we saw this past week, he demonstrated what self-impeachment looks like when he called for the same act from China. So the challenge for the Democrats is not collecting more and more data, although they're doing that, and more evidence. It's really staying focused on this issue of abuse of power. And the biggest danger I think the Democrats in the House could run into is going too far and wide, taking up too much time, and allowing Donald Trump to do what he does best, and that's to confuse the issue, conflate the issue, throw out more and more false claims. Democrats have to keep this focused, and they have to move as quickly as possible.
There's speculation that there'll be an impeachment vote by Thanksgiving. Is that possible, you think?
Again, I think if they keep it simple, it is. They already have plenty of evidence of abuse, as we just described, of his office for personal gain. We now have additional evidence of obstruction of justice through those activities that took place in Ukraine, through, again, the White House's denials with regard to providing information. I was glad to see that Pelosi and the House leadership indicated that that action in itself, if the White House refuses to turn over these documents, could become additional impeachable offenses. And obviously, we've also seen him already threaten or intimidate witnesses, including the whistleblower and other folks. So they have it. You know, the difficulty is timing. They're not back in session for another full week, and so that cuts down on the amount of time in order to get it done. But if they schedule it and keep moving, they can do it. The other challenge that they have really is to keep it professional. And when these inquiries take place, particularly if they're going to be, the hearings are going to be televised, which I assume they will be, Yeah, they have to keep it professional. What I mean by that is, let's bring in their staff that are professional questioners, former prosecutors, et cetera, and avoid the kind of grandstanding that we've seen too often from some of these folks on the hearing committees who just want to play to the cameras. We'll get enough of that from the Republicans. We need the Democrats to stick to the facts and stay focused.
You know, this debate goes on about whether this is an impeachable act, and I'm listening to Bruce Ash, who obviously far to the right of me. He's a member of the Republican National Committee. I'm talking with a lawyer who said he didn't hear anything that was illegal. How can he hear something that I hear that is so much different than what he hears, is what I want to know. There is no one on the face of this earth that could have listened to Donald Trump or read the transcripts that did not say this was a quid pro quo. This was an attempt to ask the Ukrainians to get something on my political opponent. No one can dispute that. That's an impeachable offense. How much more simple can it be in my mind, your mind, anybody's mind? Mind of God.
You know, and how many Republicans do we hear and do we see always bragging about how they carry around a copy of the Constitution in their pocket? It's apparent they haven't read it, because this is very clear. And what we're seeing is another example of moving the goalposts or moving the line of what's decent and what's legal and what isn't. You know, we see that in the Senate with Mitch McConnell. We're seeing that now with every Republican, not every Republican, actually, trying to do that, because we're hearing from some, as you heard in the news right before your show, about Mitt Romney actually coming out and saying these are serious issues. We've had a few other Republicans who are in office expressing concern. But what's most important is the change among the public. And that's what Nancy Pelosi's watching. You know, she stood back and said no to an impeachment inquiry for months and months until this latest event. And she realized that now you have public sentiment, public attention on the side of moving forward with this impeachment inquiry, again, because it's a simple issue to understand, using the power of his office for personal political gain and inviting foreign powers to interfere in the 2020 election. So what we see now is a flip from folks who were opposed to an impeachment inquiry to now a majority, not just a plurality, but if you look at the average of all the polls in the past week, 51% of Americans favor moving ahead with the impeachment inquiry and just 44 opposed. And even for impeachment itself, it's basically even now, just 45% opposed and 46% in favor. So that's the shift that Trump is worried about, and that's why we're seeing him and his folks continue to spew out all these other conspiracy theories, and they have their minions out there like Bruce Ash, like Lindsey Graham, like these other folks trying to argue in some bizarre way that this is all perfectly normal and nothing to see here.
Oh, it's unbelievable. The idea that you would say, I'm going to rob this bank, and you put together a plan to rob the bank, and they stop you from robbing the bank, but that doesn't mean you didn't try to rob the bank, you didn't put it all together, and then you come out the next day saying, well, I'm going to rob the bank across the street, too. That's what he said about China. I'm not only did I do it with the Ukraine, I'm going to turn around and ask the Chinese to help find dirt on Joe Biden and his family. I mean, it's exactly. Just insane. I mean, you just can't make it up. You cannot make it up. You can't.
I think your example is a good one. Basically, they're saying, well, if we rob all these banks in plain sight, it's
sure.
Not a crime.
That's right. Or we shoot somebody going down Fifth Avenue, it's not a crime to me. You know, it's another thing, too, to fight the State Department, because you've got a situation where setting this defiant tone, the Trump administration, of course, has resisted Congress access to impeachment witnesses, even as the House Democrats warn such efforts themselves could amount to an impeachable offense. Then you got Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, trying to delay five current and former officials from providing documents and testimony in the impeachment inquiry that could lead to charges against the president. So, I mean, you, this is a crime in itself. You're compounding one crime with another. I don't know. If this isn't the beginning of the end of Donald Trump's political career, I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, I went through the Mueller anxiety for two damn years. Yeah, he found the smoking gun. He shot himself with it. So, you know, I mean, come on. Now, if this doesn't turn into something serious for the president, I have no idea what it would be. I can't even imagine. How do you get more plain than this? More factual than this? How do you make it more simple than this? I don't know. I don't think you can.
Well, You can't. That's exactly what we're talking about. Stick with this simple, straightforward issue that people understand. You know, as you mentioned, 2 years of the Mueller report, you had a great report that came out with 10 instances alone of obstruction of justice, but it was so dense, so complicated, folks got tired of it. They didn't look at it. This is very simple and straightforward. And for this process to move forward successfully, impeachment in the House, we'll talk later about possible conviction in the Senate, but even just for impeachment, you got to keep it simple. You think about Al Capone, all the things Al Capone did, all the criminal enterprises, et cetera, they got him for tax evasion because it was simple and clear and provable, and that's what worked. This will work. We have the evidence in front of us. Trump has admitted it, has provided the evidence, and we shouldn't go any farther than that. And as you said again, the sooner that Democrats can move forward on this, the more successful it will be, because ahead is only more distraction.
We're talking with Don Jorgensen, the former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. I think this health problem with Bernie Sanders is going to be a real problem for him. I don't know. You have a heart attack, and people saying, well, gosh, how old is Bernie? And, you know, we've got to have somebody in there with great strength to take on Trump. Maybe he can convince people that it's not a problem, but I just thought it was one of those things that's just going to make a huge difference when push comes to shove, don't you, or not?
Well, I think it brings to light a concern that a lot of folks have had without stating it. You know, we have four candidates for president, including Trump right now, who are all 70 or older. That's a concern. Jimmy Carter thought that was a concern, to have a president that gets up at late 70s. He said at 80, he didn't think it would be reasonable for someone to serve in that role, given the tremendous ongoing demand. So I think what happens now is, as much as Bernie Sanders puts out Twitter feeds and comments and gets on the news as much as he can to show that he's healthy and active, I think a lot of folks will be watching the next debate, which is the night of October 15th, really looking at how strong and healthy Bernie Sanders looks and sounds, because it will have an effect. You compare that to Elizabeth Warren, who is 70. Bernie, I believe, is 78. And there's no thought of that in watching her run around the country and in her energetic public forums and all of that that's happening. So I think for Bernie, it is a concern. Of course, that's balanced with the fact that he is still, a little surprisingly, the leading fundraiser among Democratic candidates. So he's still very strong. And I think if he gets past this, it'll be less of a concern, although I think it will have effect on Democrats who are undecided at this point.
You know, I think Trump has wounded Biden no matter what. I mean, his polling numbers are down. I think he's been on the defense where Trump wanted him to be. So, you know, 10,000 repetitions make a truth. I mean, you can tell a lie 10,000 times, it becomes a truth to people. And Trump has just hit the same theme over and over again. Biden's a crook, Biden's a crook, he's a crook. Sleepy Joe, blah, blah, blah. And it has played to the negative for Biden in some respects through this whole process. I don't know how bad he's wounded, but I don't think he's been helped at all by this.
It has, because what it does, regardless of the fact, sadly, regardless of the fact that he's completely innocent, there was nothing wrong done. In fact, he was representing the United States and actually engaged in a positive activity when he made contact with Ukraine's. But bringing the family into it is just a kind of a reminder to voters that Joe Biden's been around a long time and he's part of the Washington establishment. And this whole issue about family members involved or getting favoritism because their parents are involved in government is something that happens everywhere. And even though he's innocent of any wrongdoing, in fact, represented the U.S. honorably, I think it still connects him to the old guard Washington establishment. And Democrats don't like that. Democrats are always looking for something new. So the sad point is, this has worked for Trump. Now, I don't think you expect impeachment to come along with it, but it has done damage to Joe Biden, because what Trump has done is not move Trump's esteem up any higher, but it does what he always does, and that's tried to drag people down to his level, you know, to be able to try to say that, look, everyone does it. And in this case in Washington, everyone does do it. If you told the folks in the Senate that anyone who has a family member who's benefited from you being in government leave, you'd have half the Senate empty and probably half the House empty. Look at Trump's administration. You know, of course, we already know his daughter works at the White House. His son-in-law works at the White House. Ivanka's getting Chinese patents and grants from Saudi Arabia. So you could stop there. But there's more to it. Rudy Giuliani's son works at the White House. Bill Barr's son-in-law works at the White House. His daughter works at Treasury. So you have questionable dealings, if not corruption, in all these other areas. And that's what Trump has done, is tried to drag Joe Biden back into that swamp, if you will. And the sad news is, I think he has been a little successful. And so Democrats are looking around now. And we see that with Elizabeth Warren's polling numbers. She's now leading and is demonstrating that Joe Biden is not the only one who can take on Donald Trump. So it'll be, again, quite an interesting several months leading up to Iowa that we have in front of us.
John Jorgensen, thanks for being with us. It's always great talking with you. A great appreciation for your insight. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, John. Thank you.
Don Jorgensen, a regular to the John C. Scott Show, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. We're going to be talking with Dustin Williams. He's the Pima County School Superintendent. He's going to appoint the replacement of Mark Stegeman, who has resigned as a member of the TUSD School Board. Now, TUSD is Southern Arizona's largest school district. Mark Stegeman has been a longtime board member, and he just said, I quit. That's it. I've had it. I don't like doing this anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. I quit. Now what happens? What powers does Dustin Williams have to appoint? What criteria will he use? And how long is the term? All kinds of questions for Dustin Williams coming up. Tucson Map and Flag announces a concierge service. The Tucson Map and Flag store that Tucsonans grew up loving is now closed. Tucson Map and Flag is open during business hours on your phone. Call Charles Smith, an American flag expert. He's at 887-4234, 887-4234, and order your American-made flag at great prices. Almost any size is available, and travel maps to most of the world available as well. Now the concierge service of Tucson Map and Flag, just a phone call away. Call Charles Smith at 887-4234 and place your order. Tucson Map and Flag, sharing your pride in America with the display of America's most cherished symbol. Call 887-4234. This portion of the John C. Scott Show originates from the Perfection Auto Work Studios. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum on this Saturday afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us. With us is Dustin Williams, who's a school superintendent. He's one of the most respected educators in all of America. And he joins us now. And Dustin, thanks for being with us. Thank you.
John C., how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I had some idea that you would appoint if there was a board member that left his office in any one of the school boards of the state. Is that, I mean, within Pima County, is that true? Any school board within Pima County, if there's a vacancy, yeah, you replace that person?
That's it. One of the big power moves in this position is you are the only appointing authority for school board members on non-election years.
Wow. Let me ask you something. You know, and I know, that there are different particular political factions that run TUSD school board. Pulling to the left, it could be Alita Gerhalva. Pulling to the right, could be Mark Stegman. Would you let any of these political influences on the board affect your appointment? Or what criteria would you use? I'll ask this a whole bunch of different ways, and you can answer them any way you like. But what is going to guide your decision?
Yeah, John, so much like a professional coach, you put yourself through scenarios and you ask yourself, what if? And so we do this with all the districts, and TUSD is no different. I know the town and the county, they get really excited about controversy sometimes, and TUSD fits in there sometimes. And what we want to do is we want to mitigate that. And so for them, they're no different than any other appointment that we've done for, this will be the seventh one. And we know what to do. This is the business. This is our wheelhouse. It's all about relationships. It's all about pre-planning. It's all about what is in the best interest of a child, what's in the best interest of a student, and then what's in that best interest for a community. So we kind of scheme it out, and we think about these scenarios, and lo and behold, Mr. Stegeman, Dr. Stegeman came to me a while back, probably several months ago, maybe six. And we started kind of just having some dialogue and some conversations about, you know, what his thoughts were and where he was and how he felt. And I applaud him for his service in our community. It's been amazing. 11 years, that is not an easy task for any individual. This is an unpaid job. It's hundreds of hours a month. Multiple emails, and especially in the magnitude of TUSD, it's pretty incredible. But it's not a surprise for us, not a shock. And
what's going to guide you, Dustin? What criteria will you use? I mean, what are you going to base your decision on? How do you make the best decision in your mind for the people of Pima County and TUSD?
So it starts with statute, you know, in law 15302, and you basically the basic statute at the end of the day is the elected Pima County School Superintendent makes the full authority decision. But you do get some options, and this is how we kind of run it in Pima County. One, you can call a special election, and for PUSD that would be about $1 million, maybe even more. And we just wouldn't do that. And it's also past the deadline to do that. So a special election is off the table, but that is an option. Two, you can do what's called a direct appointment, where I'd meet with individuals and look at their resumes and their letters of interest and decide who's the best candidate. Or three, you can do kind of an interview process where the district gets up to three. They can give you up to three names within 30 days, and then you can also have other people kind of enter that arena, and you can do a whole committee and put together a whole interview process and pick the best candidate. And that's kind of how you run the process.
So which one will you choose as to how you use your powers and options to appoint the vacancy at TUSD? What will you do?
So... For me, we evaluate each district and we think about what is the best scenario. What's the best for number one kids, and then number two, what's the best for the community? And what we're going to do is we're going to let the process run through, and we're going to give TUSD up to 30 days to give us three names if they so choose. If they don't want to give us three names and they say, hey, we just want your office to run your process, we'll reevaluate that at that time, and their next board meeting is on the 16th. So that's kind of where the waiting game is, and during this time, we'll kind of evaluate what's in the best interest for this community for TUSD.
I suppose people could lobby you. They could call you up and say, you know, we want so-and-so. Do you entertain recommendations and people that support other people? How do you filter that into the process?
Yeah, our office is 100% transparent. And what we do is we always tell anyone, if you have any interest whatsoever in TUSD or you want to be on any board, not just TUSD, but Continental, AmFi, any of the 17 districts that are in this county, you send me a letter of interest, you send me a resume, and tell us your consideration, and we'll absolutely value that. And you can send it to it right at schools.pima.gov, and you can tell us if you want to be on that board or not.
This is a very important appointment, because TUSD, of course, is in a situation where it's been kind of somewhat in a survival mode. It's had a tremendous number of students that have fled the district, and many are starting to come back. Looks like that flight from the district has leveled off somewhat, which is good news. It seems to me that they're very happy with their current superintendent, and they're not fighting with them as they fought with other superintendents who are no longer there. I understand there are different factions among the board members, and Mark Stegeman was part of one of the factions, at least he was perceived to be, and that offered a split and a dynamic that kind of created controversy throughout literally most of his tenure on the board. It seems to me that you probably, and I'm not going to tell you what to do, God knows you're going to make the right decision and the best decision, but you probably want to stay out of the politics of this and say, look, I'm going to find somebody that is qualified that is a pro-education person, and a person who understands money and responsibility and the response to the public good of which this board has to be responsible to, and let the devil have the rest. I don't know how else you're going to do this, Dustin.
Well, John C., you're absolutely right. Our whole mission at our office is we're in the business of doing this. This is what we do really, really well. TUSD and other school districts are in the business of educating kids and running policy and doing their thing. So what we want them to know is we're here for you, but, you know, I really don't want any more controversy than needs to be. And so when we start to look at individuals, we're looking at somebody that is a highly intelligent, knows a process, isn't too far left, isn't too far right, is right in that wheelhouse of, you know, not the best fit for the voters, but who's the best closer, like a baseball game, who can come out and close this thing out. Because remember, this individual is going to have to run again in 2020 if they so choose. And, that's another consideration for us is we're looking for individuals sometimes that are here to just close out a district and help them and keep it calm. Calm is very important for us. Just really help out a district for sound decisions and what's in the best interest of a student. That's what we do best. And the most interesting thing about being a Pima County School Superintendent or any county school superintendent is, again, you kind of plan for this. So you develop relationships, really, really close relationships with board members and with superintendents and individuals in the community that maybe have really great qualities, and you kind of talk about things. And so, you know, obviously when Dr. Stegeman, again, and thank him for his service, but when he, you know, announced, this was not a surprise for us. We had been talking with Dr. Stegeman for months. And we respected his confidentiality, and that's what we do. So for us, it's not a different district. I know everybody's all kind of hyped up and excited about TUSD, and I understand it because it's got a lot of kids and it's been in the media a lot. But for us, this is a day-to-day thing, and we just keep it all the same. To be honest.
I would not want anybody else to make this decision other than you, because it can be very political. There's no question about it. The district has been mired in politics over the last 11 years that Mark Stegeman has been a member of that board. You know, I got to know Mark pretty well. I always supported him in his bid for re-election. But I know how exhausting it was from time to time in the conversations I had with him. He's an economics professor at the University of Arizona. He has his responsibilities to the U of A and to the many, many students that he has taught over all the years. He's a respected professor at the University of Arizona. There's just no question about how smart the guy is and how hard he worked at not only his job at the U of A, but also as a member of the board, which you don't get paid for. You know, I mean, it's a point of no return, other than a satisfaction you might get from making a better place for people to be educated. I always thought he fought some headwinds in the politics of that district that wore him out. I think people get tired of it. You know, I saw people in the legislature when I was there who would serve for a long time. They just went, I'm just getting tired of this. You know, I'm just really tired of it. So, and you know, it wears on you, it does.
John, you're right. You're always right. I mean, you've got the great, in this business that we do, which is politics and education, and you infuse both of them, there's a big word, which is called passion. And if you don't have the passion and you don't have the heart and the desire, you start going through what's called the motions. And if you get to that point in this sort of a stage, then you need to leave. And what Dr. Stegeman saw was he started to see that, you know, he has some different family members coming in, and new kids and the whole thing. And he just kind of looked at it and said to himself, where's my passion and where's my heart? Where's my desire? And regardless of his kind of vision for TUSD, he was really thinking about his kids. And so when we would sit down and talk, him and I would have some really candid discussions about what it's like to raise a child. So I had an 8 and a 5-year-old. I have an 8 and a 5-year-old. And then he's got some brand new ones. He's got 4 kids. And I would say, Dr. Stegman, I joke around with him a little bit and be like, I don't know how you're doing it right now, because someone asked me if I want another child. I have an 8 and a 5. I'm like, no way. We're done. We're ready to, it's a ton of work to raise a child and to do it right. And that's where his heart kind of was lying, which was mostly with his family and also just kind of the rest. I mean, if you saw some of these TOSD board meetings, they didn't end at 9 o'clock. Matter of fact, they didn't end at 8 o'clock. They would end sometimes at midnight and even go into some of the later hours. And that's a big toll on somebody, especially if they've got children that are newborns in a family. So I applaud him for everything that he's done and put into that district. You're right. He's one of the smartest guys that I know. He really does bring up a lot of great points and great discussions. And we just look really, really forward to giving an element of calmness to Pima County and finding an individual, either working with TUSD or myself selecting an individual that's going to bring an element of intelligence, calmness, and just kind of close out the remaining year of 2020, and then we'll let the voters figure this out come November of next year of who they want to be the elected official for TUSD.
You know, Dustin, thank you for being with me. Thanks for being so candid about the responsibilities that you now exercise as the person who will appoint the individual to replace Mark Stegman. That's it's Southern Arizona's largest school district, millions and millions of dollars, tens of thousands of kids, a couple of thousand teachers, vast responsibility as the largest school district in Southern Arizona. And I know you take this very seriously, the appointment process to replace Mark Stegman. I thank you for being with us, Dustin. I'm one of your biggest fans. Thanks so much for being on our show today. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
John Z, I thank you, and I thank all your listeners as always.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Thanks. Perfection Auto Works, complete auto repair. I've been talking about Mike Emery. Mike's a pretty conservative guy. I'm not, but we're friends. And he fixed my car. I was so pleased. Now I get in my car every day. This is an old car. Not worth a lot of money. We put another engine in it. We repaired it so that the computer works. It's so great to have a reliable car. It's so great to know that if something goes wrong with this car, I just call Mike Emery. I don't have to look all over town thinking who's going to rip me off this next time. These people are honest at Perfection Auto Works. If you have a car to repair, you take it to Perfection Auto Works, and I assure you, you're going to be very pleased with the work they do. Call Mike Emery at 323-8650. They're located at 1046 North Beverly. They offer you free air conditioning belt and hose inspection, free radiator and cooling system diagnostic, and free fall trip vehicle inspection. Going to see the aspen turning in the mountains? Well, you want your car running reliably. Home of the trusted auto repair for over 20 years, Mike Emery's ASE Master Certified Mechanics at Perfection Auto Works. I really, really absolutely urge you to call Perfection Auto Works if you need car repair. 323-8650. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum. With us, Matt Klink, one of the most respected strategists for the GOP in all of America. He is a regular to our show, and we're so pleased to have him with us today. Matt, thanks for being here. Thanks.
Hey, John, happy Saturday to you.
Good. How close are we to the end of Donald Trump, or is this just the beginning of a process that may not end the political future of Donald Trump? Where the hell are we here? Because some days I can't figure it out, and this is one of them.
Well, and unfortunately, I don't think the Democrats have it very well figured out on this one either. I think that they're trying to go through the motions of impeachment and hope that they find the proverbial silver bullet. But right now they're not. And I think that Donald Trump will be impeached by the House, but there is no way, absent that silver bullet, that they get the 2/3 vote in the United States Senate, which means that he'll go into the election and it's going to be precarious for those 40 Democrats that are in districts that Trump won. So it could ultimately cost the Democrats the House.
So let's take Orange County, as I've talked about this, because you're very familiar with these Los Angeles districts. Are we going to get some Republicans back because of this impeachment effort? Will that have an effect on those particular districts?
I think that there are a couple of the moderate districts that are still Republican moderate districts that they may not like Donald Trump, but what they will see is the Democrats trying to undo the will of the voters with an impeachment that is 100% politically motivated. And I look at this in contrast to, you probably will remember this, John, Pete Rodino in 73, who was the Democratic chair of the House Judiciary Committee, and gosh, even Newt Gingrich, they all had a formal impeachment vote to authorize an impeachment inquiry in the House. Both the Republicans and Democrats had subpoena powers. That doesn't exist now. They were done by the Judiciary Committee, not by the Select Committee on Intelligence. Both sides were able to call witnesses. That's not the case now. Only the Democrats are calling witnesses. It's a total political theater that is run by someone who, you know, Adam Schiff is not the most reliable and trustworthy member of Congress. I mean, he's the one who said he had cold, hard evidence that Trump colluded with Russia. Well, we're still waiting for that. Mr. Schiff has yet to produce.
As you take a look at what's going on, though, you have to say it has to have an influence on 2020 in one way or another. Democrats are petrified that it's going to turn things around. They're supposed to be in a very, very good position now, but it may not turn out that way after the impeachment effort. It may have a very negative effect.
You're right, John, and here's where it's going, because Donald Trump, if you hate Donald Trump, you still hate Donald Trump. The challenge, though, is that it's going to backfire on Joe Biden, because they're now digging up dirt on the Biden family. And whether it comes to fruition or not, it still is dirt on Joe Biden that taints him from the Obama legacy that is all he really is talking about. And the odds-on front runner, now that Bernie has had a heart attack, is Elizabeth Warren. And you've already had left-leaning members of the business community say that they'll sit on their hands if she's the nominee because her policies are so radical. So, yeah, it's already having unintended consequences.
Well, I think Biden's been injured. I don't know whether it's fatal or not, but he's been politically hurt by this, even though Democrats, of course, are defending him, and, of course, they're trying to seek, some kind of satisfaction in the idea that Donald Trump would be one of, what, four people ever charged with impeachment in the as president of the United States. I just have to take a look at this whole thing and say, this is a cluster blank all over again. I mean, it's just a mess.
Yes. Oh, it's a total mess. Yeah, the sad part for Biden is his money's down. He's now, Joe Biden may not win a primary until South Carolina. So he wouldn't do well in Iowa. He wouldn't do well in New Hampshire. And that means that South Carolina becomes all or nothing for him. And if he doesn't produce there, he's gone. So, it really has upended the race. And we'll see at the next Democratic debate if they talk about anything else other than impeachment. Certainly Elizabeth Warren wants to. She's got the most detailed plans. She's been very, very specific on what she would do. Irrespective of the impact that it might have on people. I just think that she's a very compelling candidate right now if you're a hardcore partisan Democrat.
But can she pull this thing off? I mean, can she hold the center? Because if she can't, no. then the Democrats are in real trouble.
She can't. Well, I don't see how she could possibly pivot back between her wealth tax, between her support for the Green New Deal, between her support for canceling all student debt and for 100% socialized medicine. That's not America. That sounds more like Russia. It's really scary, some of the things that she's proposed. Now, if it's just campaign rhetoric, that's one thing. But if you look at her past, I don't think that is indeed the case. I think she's a true believer, and she certainly has the progressive mojo this time, unlike Bernie Sanders, who is still, Bernie Sanders is still campaigning in 2016.
You know, I have to imagine there's an advisor somewhere in the White House that listens to Donald Trump as he gets on television walking out of the White House to the helicopter or wherever. And every time Trump walks up to the microphone, this advisor slaps himself with his own belt to the point that it's bleeding, thinking, he said what? He did what? I mean, no one is more injurious to this president than this president. This has never happened in any time in American history that anybody has hurt themselves so badly as Donald Trump has hurt himself. I mean, it just, there are got to be people saying, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he said that.
Yeah, I mean, John, for someone who makes his living helping people craft a message and figuring out what to say, I have enough friends in Washington, D.C. who are completely frustrated and perplexed by just the lack of discipline, the lack of any sort of message control, or that's even being generous, the lack of any message. I mean, I recall back to the Clinton impeachment, you had Democratic surrogates going out on Capitol Hill on a regular basis, talking about the process, talking about Ken Starr, really getting down and dirty. You had a little bit of that with the Mueller report, primarily though with Rudy Giuliani, but they're giving Congress very little ammunition to talk about, and that's why you have Kevin McCarthy sending letters to Nancy Pelosi arguing about process, because that's all he can grab onto right now. Trump is by far his own worst enemy, but if you also look at it the other way, he also is the reason for his own success. He does stuff that you and I would look at and go, what the heck is he doing? And it ends up working out for him. So it's, I don't know, politics in 2020 is certainly unlike anything I've ever seen.
So what's going to make the difference in 2020, do you think, Matt? I mean, where will it come down? I mean, obviously, you go back 4 years, you say, well, in Michigan and Wisconsin, you got, you know, Pennsylvania, Florida, that's the whole ballgame with Ohio. Those are five states. That's the ballgame. Do we have the same kind of ballgame we can watch in 2020 that we saw?
We do. Actually, we do. And, John, you are sitting in ground zero. Arizona is arguably the most purple state in the country right now. And I think that Arizona is going to be one of those states that it's going to determine which way the race goes, if it goes Republican or Democrat. Obviously, Florida every year is a 1 percentage point election either way. Ohio is going to be solid Republican. I put very little stock in Texas going Democrat, although it will be closer just because so many Californians have moved to Texas. But Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, those states are going to be important. Maybe Minnesota. Don't forget, Trump almost won New Hampshire. But I think you want to see how this election goes. Arizona is the key.
All right. It's Let me take a quick break, Matt, and I'll come right back with a final summary from you in just a moment. We're with Matt Klink, GOP strategist and a great guy in Los Angeles, and we thank him very much for being on our show. We'll be talking with Matt Klink after this. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Show. Matt Klink is a GOP strategist and consultant in Los Angeles. We are being told by the Democrats, Matt, that they're going to get this vote out of the House of Representatives for impeachment of the President of the United States by Thanksgiving. Goes to the Senate by the first of the year. And then what? I mean, you're going to have a full 10 months to, I guess, debate the whole thing all over again. I mean, this is going to get really crazy. I mean, really crazy.
Will it? I don't think that the Democrats will be able to move as quickly on impeachment as they think. I think that the White House is going to delay and stonewall as much as they possibly can and force this thing into 2020 so that the vote, if the vote does occur, occurs in the same calendar year that all the Democrats appear on the ballot. All that being said, once this thing goes over to the Senate, then we'll have Chief Justice Roberts sitting in the president's chair of the Senate, and he will serve as the one who convenes the trial, and we'll have a full-blown trial with members of the House presenting and the president's attorneys presenting for him, and then we'll have a vote in the Senate. And there is no conceivable way, barring, again, that smoking gun, which it does not appear to have been found yet, that Donald Trump will be impeached by the United States, or will be, the impeachment will be confirmed by the United States Senate.
Matt Klink.
So it's pure political theater.
Matt, thanks so much for part of your weekend. Thanks so much for your great expertise, and we appreciate you being on the show. I really, really thank you so much. Thank you.
Anytime. Have a great Saturday, John.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
One of the most respected consultants for the GOP in all of America, Matt Klink out of Los Angeles. And I talk to people all over the country who knew Mike and Matt Klink and respect him. He's an amazing guy and has great insight. That's why we feature him on the John C. Scott Show. Back after the news and these messages.